Dalit.
We're continuing the story of Adam Rishon. Previously we mentioned that Adam Rishon was chayte with the Eitz Hadas, so exactly what happened over there. Now this parak is going to discuss the repercussions of Adam Rishon's sin, all the different things that happened because of his avera. But first, the Medrash is going to introduce the discussion by bringing up a new topic, which is going to really take us to the rest of Pirkei Eliezer. And the topic is like this: Eser Yerida Yisiyara Dekadosh Baruch Hu Al Ha'aretz. There's ten places in Chumash where we find the lashon of Yerida, descent, talking about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Where we find that Hashem came down, Kibiyachol, to the earth and intervened very much directly in the flow of, you know, history. And Hashem came down. Yerida, He came down. So there's 10 examples of that. We're going to say what these 10 examples are very bekitzer, and the rest of the prakim of Pirkei Eliezer are going to explain what happened in all these stories and give more details to that.
It means that you're telling us something, you're revealing something, or just like you cannot possibly.
No, because if... I said kibiyachol because if Hashem doesn't have a body, and most Jews understand that Hashem doesn't have a body, so then you can't come down if you don't physically exist. Coming down is a physical action. You can't necessarily ascribe physical actions to something that doesn't have a physical existence.
It doesn't limit Hashem.
The way we understand it is that when it says Hashem came down, it's just coming to teach us a lesson that Hashem thought that this issue was so important that He wrote in the Torah as if He came down, because and intervened very much directly. Even though Hashem doesn't intervene directly. Hashem runs the whole world, so it's not even a shaila of intervening. Hashem runs everything. But when it says that Hashem made a point of coming down, it's coming to teach us a lesson. It's not really telling us something about Hashem. It's really telling us something, how we should look at it. These are 10 important things that happened.
Right.
10 historical important things that happened.
Hashem is all over, right? But for us, it's concealed. So therefore, when it came down, that means it was revealed to us.
Right. Okay. So there's 10 instances that it says the lashon of Yerida when it's talking about Hashem. The Elohim, these are the 10. Achas began Eden, one in Gan Eden. That's going to be the topic of this morning's chapter, where we're going to learn Perek Yudalet. The Achas b'dor ha-palaga, once in the dor ha-palaga, by the story of Migdal Bavel, where it says over there, Vayered Hashem liyos ha-seir v'samigdal. And then when Hashem wanted to destroy it, Hashem said to the Malachim, Hava Nerda, we're going to go down and V'nov L'Hashem Tzfasam. This is going to be discussed later on in Perek Chof Dalet. V'achas B'Stoim, and one in Stoim. And when it's talking about Stoim, so Hashem says, Erdo Nov V'Ereh, Akitzaka So Abo Eli Osu Eila. Hashem said, I'm going to go down and see that these people in Stoim are screaming and complaining. I'm going to go down and see, you know, are they really such bad people? Erdana, so Lashon of Yerida, which we're going to discuss in Perek Chof Hei. That's the story of Stoim. And then it says, V'sne, once at the Sne, when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, Hashem said to him, V'ered, that he's going to go down to save the Jews for Ered, and that's going to be the discussion in Perek Mem. The next one is Achas B'Sinai, once at Har Sinai, where we said Yered Hashem al Har Sinai and Vayem Hashlishi Yored Hashem al Har Sinai, that Hashem, the presence of Hashem, went down to Har Sinai, that we already discussed in Perek Mem Aleph. The next Yerida is Achas Ushtayim B'Nikras Hatzur. Twice at the Nikras HaTzur. Now, the Mufarshim said that this is a mistake. Nikras HaTzur was the time when after the Chet Ha'egel, so Moshe Rabbeinu went back to daven to Hashem that Hashem should be Meichel Kal Yisrael. That was called Nikras HaTzur.
What does Nikra mean?
I don't know. But Nikras HaTzur, I'm not sure right now. But the point is that Nikras Etzur Pashas is the name of a place. We'll look at it as the name of a place right now.
Assuming the rock.
Yeah, some sort of rock or opening, some place with a rock.
Opening in the rock, maybe opening.
The opening, maybe the reading of a rock, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it says twice at Nikras Etzur. So the Mefarshim say that's a mistake. It's supposed to say one more time at Nikras Etzur. Could be, the Marzu sort of says this, that in Ovis Rabbi Nosson, so over there it reckons the story of Nikras Etzur and Hashem by Matan Torah as both being at Sinai, and it says two by Har Sinai. Here it says Sinai, and then it says Nikras Etzur as two separate things. So you don't have to say two at Nikras Etzur, say one at Nikras Etzur. B'shtayim ba'oil, fine. B'shtayim, and this story of Nikras Etzur, by the way, it says Vayered Hashem ba'anon, whatever, Parshas Kisiso. We're going to speak about that in Perek Mem Vav. U'shtayim ba'oil moyed, and two times it says that Hashem came down by the oil moyed. Both of them are actually next week's Parshan, Ba'alei Yischa. By the in the story of the Shivim Zekanim with this and the Slav, so over there it says Viradati Vidiparti Imach, and by the story, the Marzu points out an interesting thing that this story is actually not discussed in Pirkei Eliezer. This story of the the Slav and the Shivim Zekanim, it doesn't talk about it in Pirkei Eliezer. And the second one by Oyel Moed is Vayir Hashem Ba'amur Anon. And also Parshas Ba'alei Yischa, where it's talking about Miriam, where Hashem came to give Miriam Moser for speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam and Aaron got Moser. That's the last parak in Pirkei Avos, parak Nun Dalet, speaks about that. And the last one is the As Le'Asid Lavei. One is going to be in the future where Hashem is going to come down. That's also not discussed here in Pirkei Avos, but there's different psukim that are meramis to that. It says in Yeshaya, the Marzu brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, Yishai Lamed Aleph, it says Kein Yered Hashem Tzvokeis Al Har Tzion. It's also something that's not discussed in Pirkei Avos. The Radal says that it's talking about in the sometime in the war of Gog and Magog, Hashem is going to intervene. And then he says maybe a different pshat that Moed HaMashiach, Hashem is going to come down and be Mechadesh Yerushalayim, is going to renew Yerushalayim somehow. So maybe that's what it means. Hashem is going to come down. La'asid Lovei. Not clear exactly what it means. La'asid Lovei. So to recap, we have 10 things over here. We have one in Gan Eden, one in the Dor HaFlaga, one in Stoim, one by the Sneh, one by Sinai, one by Nikras Etzur, even though it said two, but it's really supposed to be one, two by the Oyel Moed, and one in the future. So we're missing one, right? So the Mufarshim say that one that we're missing is the Yerida of Mitzrayim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov Avinu, when he found out that Yosef was in Mitzrayim, so he wasn't sure if he should go down to Mitzrayim or not. Because he knew that Avram Avinu, when there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, so he went down to Mitzrayim. But Yitzchak Avinu, when there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem told Yitzchak, out here in Mitzrayim, Shechein Ba'aretz, don't go down to Mitzrayim, stay over here in Eretz Yisrael. So he wasn't sure, am I like Avram Avinu or am I like Yitzchak? He didn't know if he should go down to Mitzrayim or not go down to Mitzrayim. And then Yitzchak went to Gror, which is the Eretz Plishtim, which is Gaza, basically, which is Pasha's part of Eretz Yisrael. So Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael, and Avraham Avinu did leave Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu wasn't sure, should I leave Eretz Yisrael or not? So he went to ask Hashem, he bought Kavaz, I think he went to Be'er Sheva to bring Korbanos and ask Hashem what he should do. And Hashem said, yeah, go down to Mitzrayim. Anoichi Erein Imach. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. And I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim. Go, Yaakov, go down to Mitzrayim. Go there, and I'll come out with you. So there it also says a lashon of going down to Mitzrayim. So that's the tenth one that we didn't mention over here. But the Radal says this, and the Marzu say, also say this. In Ovis Rabbi Nosson, it does mention this one of going down in Mitzrayim. Here in Pirkei Avos it doesn't, but Al Pi Cheshven it should say it. Could be they say that one of the reasons maybe why it doesn't say it is because could be that's the same one as the Sneh. I'm not sure. Pirkei Dan. But so those are the ten going downs that is said by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we're gonna see again as I mentioned before we're gonna see more of the details. Most of them come up later on in the prakim that come up later in the sefer. The two that we said that don't come up. One is the time that it says you read it by the shivim zakenim in the slav. That the Ramar Zu says It doesn't say it. It doesn't speak about it in Perikah Devil Azir. I don't know why. And Marzu says also that where it says that Hashem in lava is going to come down, says also it doesn't speak about that in Perikah Devil Azir. We don't know why. And the Radal says that I mentioned in the introduction to Perikah Devil Azir that the Radal says that we have there's certain. It seems that there's some prakim of Perikah Devil Azir that are missing. We don't have the complete sefer. So he says these two things which aren't discussed in Perikah Devil Azir but are mentioned over here in the list. So they're not mentioned because those pocket must be missing. So we don't have exactly everything. That's what the result is. You paid 15 shekels for it. They chipped you. Imagine how much you would have paid if it was the whole thing.
So what was the money when it came to Yaakov? Yaakov wasn't sure.
When Yaakov wasn't sure, Hashem said, "Go down to Mitzrayim, and I'll take care of you. Don't worry." So this was the introduction. Now the Medrash goes into the details, right? Achas began Eden minayin. One time it says Hashem came down to Eden. Where do we see that? What's it talking about? Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Vayishmu'u is koil Hashem elikim mishalech bagan l'ruach hayom. After the chait of the Eitz Hadas, so Adam and Chava heard the voice of Hashem going through the garden. After the Eitz Hadas, Hashem basically called Adam and Chava and was like, "Okay, I want to speak to you."
Jumping up and going down.
What's jumping up and going down?
The voice of Hashem.
The voice of Hashem? Okay.
Because according to Chassidus, it means that Hashem was going up and coming down.
Okay. The Chos of Echad Omer, and another Pasuk says, because here it doesn't say Lashon of Yerida, it just says that Hashem's voice was going there. So here it brings another Pasuk in Shir Shirim, it says, Doidi Yerad L'Ganoi. My beloved came to his garden, descended to his garden. And the Medrash is understanding that that's talking about Hashem coming down to Gan Eden to deal with Adam and Chava after the chet of the Eitz Hadas. So it says the Lashem coming down to Gan Eden. So what happened basically? Hashem says, "Okay, I want to speak to you after the chet of the Eitz Hadas. So I want to speak to you." What happens? Adam Rishon runs away. Adam and Chava, they run away.
Where can they run to?
Where do they run? You can't run, you can't hide, right? So Hashem was Yashav Lei Bidin Emes. Hashem sat down in a truthful din, full justice. Shefet Tzedek VeEmes, the judge of Tzedek and Emes, of righteousness and truth. Karel Adam, he called Adam. V'amalai, and he said to Adam Rishon, Lama barachta mipanai, why did you run away from me? So Amar Lefanov, Adam Rishon said back to him, Shimachar Shomati. Your hearing I heard, meaning I heard your voice. V'ra'adu atzmoisai, and my bones started shaking. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Es koilu choshomati bagon, I heard your voice in the garden. V'ira, and I was scared, ki eiro moinoichi, because I am naked. V'echavei, so, and I hid myself. So that was Adam Rishon's response to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, I heard you calling me, and I had some sort of reaction. I couldn't exactly deal with it. It was too much for me. I started shaking. I got so scared. And I heard your voice. I got scared because I'm naked. So I hid myself. So the Medrash darshens each of these words over here.
It's an interesting lesson because it was afraid because he was naked.
Oh.
People don't get afraid because they're naked.
So we have to see exactly what happened over here.
He was given a mitzvah to not to eat the apple.
Right.
And then he transgressed and now he was naked from mitzvah.
Oh. That's basically what I'm going to say. But va'echavei. Now the manager is going to dash in these words in the pasuk. Va'echavei. It says that I hid myself. Va'echavei mipoyalai. Or mipoyali, I hid myself mipoyali from the one who created me. That's where the Bayis HaGadol explains it. Vo'ira, and I was scared mimaisai from my actions. The way the Bayis HaGadol explains, I was scared from my actions, from the repercussions of my actions, because I realized I did something horrible, horribly bad, and I realized that the punishment is going to be equally horrible. So I'm scared. What's going to be? Ki era manoichi mitzivui. Because I am naked from a commandment. So what does it mean, because I'm naked from a commandment? So there's a few different pshatim over here in the Mefarshim. The Radal says that I'm naked from a commandment. I'm naked because of the commandment. because Hashem told me not to do something and I did it, so now I guess my punishment is that I'm naked. I'm naked because of the commandment. We're going to explain what that means in a moment. Right. But the other pshat is similar to what you're saying. This is my preferred pshat. What does it mean, I'm naked from a commandment? I'm naked from commandments. We find by Klal Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, so they didn't have a schus to have Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem didn't want to take them out. They didn't really deserve to be taken out. They were Avodah Zarah. The Egyptians were Avodah Zarah. Why should the Jews get taken out of Mitzrayim? Right? So the pasuk in Yeshaya says that they were Aram Ve'Aria. Va'at Aram Ve'Aria. You're naked. Hashem said to them that you're naked. Why should I take you out? You're naked. What does it mean naked? Naked from mitzvahs. And the remedy to that was the end of the pasuk in Yechezkel Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Zayin. Hashem said, "V'amalach mispeisesus v'amalach b'damai chayi v'amalach b'damai chayi." Hashem said, "You're going to live, meaning you're going to be saved in Mitzrayim through blood. I'm going to save you through blood." And Rashi over there says, and this is brought in a few other places as well, that they were saved because of the two pieces of blood that they had in Mitzrayim. Dam Korban Pesach and Dam Milah. So before they were naked, and now they got the mitzvahs, now they're not naked. So what happened? Before they were naked, meaning they were naked for mitzvahs. They didn't have a special zchus of a mitzvah to protect them. When you have a mitzvah to protect you, so you're not physically clothed, but you're cloaked by the protection of the mitzvah. When you don't have a mitzvah, you don't have any protection. We also find by David HaMelech, it's a Gemara in Menachos, that David HaMelech went into the bathhouse and...
protection?
A mitzvah protects a person from oinish.
From
punishment.
From punishment. If he was performing mitzvahs, but he's also like doing right. Something wrong at the same time.
Right, so if he did something wrong, but he also did something right, so then other mission would say, okay, fine, so I did a good thing and a bad thing, maybe they cancel each other out or something like that, even though we know that that's not true. Hashem chesheds everything differently. But it could be that Hashem will have leniency because I did also good things. But if he only did a bad thing, and he's naked from mitzvahs, he didn't have any positive mitzvahs that he fulfilled, so then he's like, okay, I did a horrible thing, I'm going to get an einish, there's nothing coming to protect me, so he's very scared.
That's fine, when somebody goes on a journey, we'll give him a doctor, because when you go on a journey, it's takana.
Right.
So therefore, we want the mitzvah of
the
doctor to protect
you. Right. Shluchim
mitzvah einam nizakim. I'm asking that because I have a friend that wrote a book about the Avodah Zarah and all the stuff like Yishuvim and what they call it, witchcraft or whatever you can get in the people do, and the effects on Jews. Like, what happens to a Jewish Jew that like someone, whatever, you know, bad person or later that doesn't. What's it called, witchcraft or something? Attack that person. So if a person is not doesn't have mitzvahs, is naked of mitzvahs, from mitzvahs they can't physically be attacked physically by this like the bad spirits or the whatever. So the person is I know it's not a point here, but a person could be like a mamash physically protected because he's a performing mitzvahs. The range of protection, that's why I'm asking, what is talking about you? The range of protection is amazing. Can it really physically protect you?
I heard a story about, I don't want to get into it, but I heard a story about something like that with the rabbi, Dr. David Fox. I don't know if you heard of him. He's a psychologist in LA who was also involved with the Dayan. He's a big Dayan also. When he was in college learning psychology, so apparently there was like the professor like brought in like this lady who was like a witch or something, and she could like look at a person and like reveal otherwise unknown details of their life and stuff. So they were gonna the people in the class decided, you know, they want her to test a dafka on him, because they saw that he has a strong personality or whatever, and they wanted to see if the witch would be able to do it on him. And they tried it on him. She tried it on him, and like she like went crazy and like ran out of the room and started crying. And she couldn't do it. He was the only, and she said the reason is because he's a frum person, a frum Jew, and she doesn't have any koyach over frum Jews. I don't know. This is You heard such a story?
Sure,
not sure if I'm supposed to say the name of the person, but I already said it.
I heard a story like that as well.
Yeah, there's stories like that.
Yeah, but it's one thing. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's very, in Brazil, it's very common to have.
Voodoo, they have voodoo over there in Brazil, not voodoo.
Yeah, a lot of, yeah, they don't call it voodoo, whatever.
Whatever,
like,
yeah.
You know, African cults and stuff, they don't.
Yeah.
Mamash of Odazara and witchcraft, and they harm people.
So it's interesting, the same idea of naked from mitzvahs, we also find the Gemara Menachas, Mem Gimel Mitbeis, and the Gemara says that David Malach went into the bathhouse, and he looked at himself and he said, look, I'm naked from mitzvahs. I'm not wearing tefillin. I'm not wearing my talis. You know, I don't have a mezuzah over here. It's a bathhouse. They don't have a mezuzah. So where's my mitzvahs? And he that was the lashon he used. I'm naked from mitzvahs. Aram in the mitzvahs. Aram b'lay mitzvah. Sorry. Aram b'lay mitzvah. And then he realized, oh, he has his bris milah and his bris milah wherever he goes. But that's a gemara in Menachas. So you see also the lashon of naked from mitzvahs. Shinamar, as it says in the pasuk, ki erim anoichi, because I am naked. Or if you take out the word erim shinamar, that the way the Zohar says it, now we're dashing the words ki erim anoichi, because I am naked. If it sounds like Adam Rishon ran away from Hashem because he said, oh, because I'm naked, that sounds like beforehand he wasn't naked. That's the mashmas, and the Medrash is going to make another pasuk that seems to also say the same idea, that before the chedah of the Eitz Hadas, Adam Rishon wasn't naked, and now he's naked, and that's why he was sort of unsettled, and that's why he was running away. So if he wasn't naked before, then mehayu levusha shel Adam Rishon, what was the clothing of Adam Rishon before the chedah of the Eitz Hadas? So the Medrash says, or shel tzipayren. It was the skin of a nail, like a nail, the skin of the nail over here, that was as in like in a skin form that covered his whole body. So it's sort of like translucent. It's not mamish see through, but it's, you know, it basically covers you. Vanan kovid mechus olav, and especially like ananay kovid, like a cloud of glory was sort of covering over Adam Rishon. I guess I'm chav as well. Kevin shachem peres elon. Once he ate from the fruit of the tree, the nifshat urtzi per me'olav, this nail skin was taken off from him, removed from him. Vira atzmai oroim, and it could be that you have to change the girsa. Vira atzma oroim v'nistalik ananu kovid me'olav. He saw himself naked, and then this cloud of glory was removed from him. And then he saw himself naked. Which one happened first? He saw himself naked, or that the cloud of glory was removed? Not clear exactly. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem said to him, Mi higid lacha ki erim ata? Who told you that you're naked? Hamina etz asher tzivisicha levilti achol mimenu achalta? Is it from that tree that I commanded you not to eat from it? Did you eat from it?" So Hashem answered the way the mafreshim understand it. Hashem said to him, "Who told you?" Adam Rishon said, "I'm hiding from you because I was naked." And Hashem answered him, "Who told you were naked?" Now, the Medrash is saying like this. Why didn't Hashem answer him, "What do you mean? You were always naked." Elamai, he wasn't always naked. That's why Hashem said, "Who told you were naked?" He didn't say, "You were always naked." And the Radal says that, why didn't Hashem say to him, "Who made you naked?" That's not like a covetic lashon to say, like, "Who made you? Who stripped you down?" Hashem didn't want to say it like that. So he said, "Who told you that you're naked?" As if to say, like, what made it that you became naked? What did you do wrong? Did you eat from the Eitz Hadas? That's what Hashem means to say to him.
But you see, the animals are naked, right? And they're not clothing, but they're not embarrassed.
They're not embarrassed. Because they don't have das.
Right. But Adam and Eve before the chet was like that in a way. That he didn't have das. He was like an animal in the field. But once he did the embarrassment, then he became conscious.
Right. So that's what a lot of mafreshim, that's what they said. We don't talk about what Adam Rishon wore before. It doesn't matter what it says in the pasuk. Actually, it's a mafreshim pasuk, not like the Medrash over here. It says that they were eroimim v'lo yisvayshashu. They were naked and they weren't embarrassed. That doesn't sound like they had some sort of clothing made out of nail or whatever. It sounds like they were mamish naked. But the Medrash is understanding it that they had some special clothing, and that's what made it that they weren't necessarily mamish naked. And then when they sinned, they lost that, and that's what happened. That's what this Medrash is saying. But some interesting things over here about the fingernails, about nails.
Yeah.
It comes up over here. We talked about that they had a clothing out of nails, and then they lost it. So there's a halacha in Or Chaim Simon Reish Ches Tzadik or Reish Tzadik Ches, right? What? Havdalah. That's Halchas Havdalah. And Halchas Havdalah, there's a minig. It's brought down already in the Rishonim that the minig is when you make a bracha of Bari Me'ariya Eish, so you look at your nails, whether you look at it like this or you look at it like this. Okay, the Mufarshim speak about that. Maybe you should do both. Which way should you do first? I don't know. But the point is that you look. The minig is that you look at your nails. So if you the source of this minig of looking at your nails by Avdallah is actually
fire, reflecting on your nails.
Maybe you could look at it on your skin too, right? What's the Indian of nails? So the source of looking at your nails by Avdallah is actually Pirkei de Beliezer, not here, but in Perek Chaf. We'll learn in a few weeks, Matzah Shabbos, I guess. Perek Chaf, it says that you should look at your nails on Matzah Shabbos in the fire. But it's an interesting point that if you look in the Paiskim, if you look very good in the Paiskim, in that Simon, Or Chaim Simon, Reish Ches Tzadik, so it seems like there's a slight difference of opinion how that figures into what we're talking about over here. If you look in the Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef sort of says that like there's a minute to dafka look at your nails. And the way he says it is like, even though nails is sort of like a kitchuk because Adam Rishon had a clothing out of nails before the chait, and then afterwards he lost it. So even though that's sort of like a bad thing, but you're still supposed to look at your nails. The way that Bach says it, the opposite. He says, the minig is to look at your nails, why? As a zecher to Adam Rishon who looked at his nails. So like, it's like a good thing. We're doing what he did, or as a zecher to what Adam Rishon claimed him a chait. And the basis of it is something like, no, even though it's a bad thing because it's like it reminds you of the chayt of Adam Rishon, still there's an inin to do it. So an interesting difference in the way the Beis Yosef looks at it and the way the Bach looks at it. Yeah, there's another interesting thing about nails. The Gemara in Maseches Nida Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara says like this: Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Hey dvarim hein shehaisa yisun beschaye benafshei v'dame bereshei. There's five things that if a person does it, so the way Rashi understands it is he's going to cause einish to himself, and it's his fault. The way the Marshal explains the Gemara means that he's going to cause einish to himself, and also he's going to cause sakana to other people. Mischaye benafshei and dame bereshei. There's two lashanis. What are these five things? The Gemara explains what they mean, but ha'echol shum kaluf ubatzel kaluf ubeitza klufa. If a person eats a peeled garlic, and a peeled onion, and a peeled egg, all of these things that were peeled and left overnight, or v'asheisa mashkin mezugin shover lein alayla, or a person drinks a ready-made drink, like you added a petal and you added water to it, or you had strong wine, you added water to it to make it drinkable, and you left it over revealed overnight. And a person who sleeps in a cemetery, and a person who cuts his nails and throws it in Rishus Rabim, and a person who does bloodletting and then has relations with his wife. So that's also dangerous. These are the five things that are dangerous.
What was the last one?
Bloodletting. They used to believe in the ancient world that like if you're sick or whatever, you had different sicknesses. Right. So they said because you have too much blood or too little blood or bad blood or whatever. So they make like a bunch of holes in you and then they let some blood out, and apparently that's supposed to make you feel better.
And then after you have relations with your
wife. Then you go to your wife. So that's dangerous because like you lost blood and you're a little bit weaker. Because the Gemara goes through a bunch of these things and it says different cases, what exactly we're talking about. But this point, we said, if you cut your nails and you throw them into Rosh Hashanah, that's a sakana, and it's a sakana for other people. Why is it a sakana? Says the Gemara, Mepneshi Isha Mubaris Iveres Alehin. Because a pregnant woman will pass over these nails in the Rishus Rabbim Uapelas, and she's going to have Leilenu a miscarriage. So the Gemara qualifies this, and the Gemara says, V'lo Yaman, we didn't say this, Ela Deshakil Beginustri, only if you cut your nails with scissors, not if you, let's say, bit it off or ripped it off. V'lo Yaman, Ela Deshakil Diade Udekari. And we only said this if you cut your nails of your hands and the nails of your feet. V'lo Yaman, Ela Deleigaz Midi Pasraiho. And we only said this if you didn't use the scissors to cut anything else afterwards. But if you cut your nails and then use the scissors to cut something else and then you threw it on the floor, then it's okay. I will gaz midi pasrayo, but if you cut something else afterwards, leslan, but then there's no problem over here. That's what the Gemara says, these qualifications. And then the Gemara says, v'lohi, that's not true. These qualifications aren't true. L'kula milsecheshin. In any situation, if you cut your nails and you throw it on the floor, it's a bad thing. That's the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, tana rabbanon, another thing about nails. There's three types of people when it comes to nails. Sorfan, a person who cuts his nails and then he burns his nails. Chosid, that's the best. He's a chosid. Koivran, a person who cuts his nails and then he buries them. Tzadik, he's not a chosid. He's only a tzadik. What's the difference between a chosid and a tzadik? Beit Hashem will learn about it in Perek as well. But Pashas is saying that a chosid is better than a tzadik. Chosid burns it, there's no way that it will ever be revealed. A tzaddik, he buries it. If there's a strong wind and it gets exposed, or an animal comes to dig, and it gets exposed, it could still pose a danger to society. So he's only a tzaddik, he's not a chosid. It's a good thing to do, but it's not the best. Zorkan, a guy who throws it out, rasha, he's a rasha. Gemara talks about different things about nails. But what's this inyan that a nail causes a woman, if a woman walks over a nail, she has a miscarriage? What's the inyan? So the Nemuki Yosef in Maseches Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches talks about it. He says two pshatim. One is because of mius, because it's disgusting. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe it means that if she sees a nail on the floor, she gets disgusted by it, so somehow it will make her have a miscarriage. I don't know exactly how it works.
Also, the Gemara said she
passes
it on the nails, or
should it? It just passes over it. That's what sounds like. Yeah.
She passes over them and she sees them in
a. And they're disgusting and somehow they'll make a miscarriage.
What's the story about the lady that saw someone spit and she died?
Yeah. We do see that. That spitting and different things that if you get disgusted, it.
That was one of the miracles that happened by the Beit HaMikdash.
The what?
The meat, smell of the meat.
Right, the smell of the meat, the mission of us. That's one of the nisim. The other thing is, you'll like this one, Rabbi Epstein. Kishuf. Apparently, there's different types of witchcraft that could be shalit dafka on fingernails. And then if you put a spell on a fingernail that says like whoever walks over this could have a miscarriage, so then it could be dangerous. Like, I guess certain things only work on fingernails, and like a witch could, a machashefa could come and put a spell on it or something. I don't know exactly. I'm not an expert. You know these things. So.
Yeah, I read a book. My friend says in the book that a mazik, whatever, it's not a kishuf, but a hebuk.
Yeah.
And then the rabbi.
It goes out from the pinky.
It fixes the person, so the spirit. And then they also say that when the person dies, the natural way to the channel to leave the body is from the fingernail.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, a pinky or whatever.
So.
Between the nail and the
finger. Between the nail and the finger.
Between the nail and the finger.
You read that book,
The Goyim?
Yeah, the Goyim. Because the Goyim, when there was a mazik, they came in, and the shama came, the dibuk came into the body, and they wanted the dibuk to leave. So, get the dibuk, you have to leave in a way that you don't harm the body. Go between the nails and the.
And the
fingernail. Yeah. So that's the Mukyas, that says Tupshatim, where there's a sefer called Telas Yaakov from one of the early Mukubalim. It was even a Rishon. The Telas Yaakov is brought in the Prima Gadim in Aruch Chaim in Siman Reish Chaf Tzadik over there by Havdalah, and also in Siman Reish Samech. So the Prima Gada brings from the Tilas Yaakov that the reason why if a woman walks over fingernails, it's a sakana for her to have a miscarriage, is because it's a mida keneged mida. The woman, Chava, was the one who caused it that Adam Rishon will lose the fingernail clothing. She's the one who gave him the Eitz Hadas. She brought this whole thing about. So because she's the one who brought the whole thing about, so the mida keneged mida is that thing that she caused Adam Rishon to lose is poses a sakana to her.
Of course, that she lose her black carpet.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what. Okay. There's a lot of different halachas. My Rebbe Yosef Yitzchak Lerner in Shmiras Guf HaNefesh in Siman Samaches goes through all the details of different halachas of fingernails and whatever, and a lot of interesting things over there. But that suffices for our discussion now. Well, let's go back there. Omar Adam b'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Rishon said in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbon Kol Ha'olamim, Master of all the universes. Kishayisi levadi, when I was alone. Oh, so now he's Adam Rishon is responding to Hashem's question. What happened? Why did you sin? Why did you eat from this Eitz Hadas? So he answers. He didn't answer. Yes, I did it. I did avera. When I do tshuva, he didn't answer like that. He says, Master of the universes. Kishayisi levadi, when I was alone. Shema chatasi lecha. I don't know the word Shema is doing over here. I would have, if it's up to me, I would change the word Shema to the word Klum. Read it like this. Klum chatasi lacha. Did I ever sin to you? Here's a Shema. Maybe I sinned to you. Maybe it means it's like, maybe I was sinned to you, maybe not. But I didn't really do anything yet. But the woman that you brought to me, she's the one who pushed me away from your words. We know the Radha points out that the Medrash says that Adam Rishon was kafui toif. He denied the good that Hashem did him a favor, gave him a wife to help him out, everything, and he turned his back on Hashem and said, "Look, you gave me this woman. She's the one who made me sin. He told me responsible for my actions. It's her fault." Shinamar says in the pasuk, "Hoisha shenosato imodi he nosonli mina eitz vayichel." The woman that you gave to stand with me, she gave for me from the Eitz Hadas and I ate from it. That it's her fault. Right? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Chava, Hashem turns to Chava and he says to her, Lo dayeich shechatos, it's not enough that you did an avera. Ela shechteis es ha'odom, you also made your husband, the man, sin. How could you do such a thing? Amra lofanov, so she also doesn't take responsibility, she shifts the blame onto someone else. Amra lofanov, she said to him in front of Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Some of it's interesting. Adam Rishon used the lashon of Ribbono kol ha'olamim, and she uses the lashon of Ribbono shel Olam. Interesting. Hanachash hisiach es daiti lachto lofanacha. The Nachash interrupted my das in order to make me sin. This is an interesting idea. The Marzu says, Hesach das is a concept like we have in halacha, like if you wash for netil satayim, so you're not supposed to speak because it's like a hesach das. It's like an interruption between the washing and the making of hamaritzi, right? So hesach das is like some sort of interruption. The Marzu, what it seems the Marzu is saying is that when Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden, their whole life, their whole focus was Yiras Hashem and Avodas Hashem and working on what Hashem said and what Hashem wants us to do and that. Comes along the snake, and what did the snake do? Not necessarily that the snake got me to go do an Avera, he just got me to stop focusing on Yiras Hashem and Avodas Hashem, and then I slipped and did an Avera. That's what she's saying. He convinced me. He was hisiach as daiti. He gave me an interruption of my focus, and then I lost focus, and then that's where the vera came about.
What he said to her was, "She commanded you not to eat the tree." He said, "Yes." So the snake pushed Chava against the tree because she said, "I'm not allowed to touch it." She added.
Right, we spoke about that in Parakeet Gimel.
and he pushed against it, and he said, just like it didn't die when you it takes too long time to eat it.
Yeah, we said that in the last in Parakeet Gimel before.
The next Hatsriya Hagar.
Right. Shneva, it says in the Pasuk, HaNachash Hisiyani V'Oichel. The Nachash convinced me and I ate from it. Here it says, in the Pasuk it says, he convinced me. But here we're saying a slightly different word. There was Hisiyach as Daiti. He made me lose focus. Okay, what time is it? Okay, fine. So, we'll say it like this. Hevi Shlashtan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all three of them, Adam, Chava, and the snake, V'gozer Aleihem, Gzar Din, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a Gzar Din on them. We're going to go into in detail more next week, I think. Basically, what happens is like this: Hashem is going to give curses, klalas, to four elements: to Adam, Chava, the Nachash, and to the Eretz. Right? And basically, Hashem is going to give 10 curses to Adam, 10 curses to Chava, 10 curses to the Nachash, and 9 curses to the Eretz. Why did the Eretz get 9 curses, not 10 like everyone else? That's Hashem we're going to see next week. Why the Eretz got off more cooler, and also what did the Eretz do wrong? That also we have to know. It says Hashem brought all three of them together, and then he gave a gzar din for what all the curses, all the punishments that they're going to get.
Hashem went to Chava. He blamed Chava. And Chava blamed the snake.
Right.
And there's a snake, so why doesn't Hashem go to the snake and ask?
Just the snake? What are you asking? Why Hashem doesn't punish just the snake? No, because really it was just an excuse. It wasn't really that it's Chava's fault, it was the snake's fault. We spoke about in Parak Yud Gimel that really Adam Rishon himself sort of realized what was going on and he still went along with it. And Chava sort of also realized what was going on. She went along. Each person was also guilty on their own. But Hashem brought all of them together and then he gave the Gzar Din.
So the Shulchan says in the different books also, the thing that people something because of the Siyach Das, because of things, and you're not concentrated on the Torah, you're doing stuff that you're not supposed to do, whatever, you're working too much, learning too less, whatever, and it's not an excuse, like it doesn't make Haber to say, it was him, he didn't do anything because it did. So it's like maybe it comes like, you share them all. Okay, take some, 50%, maybe 70%, and it's like that, I have to pay the rest, but I have to pay something.
Right.
That's the snake got, the bad reputation and everything.
Right.
But Hashem gave the snake to test Adam, so the snake was doing his job. So why should he be punished for doing his job?
Because you have to do your job also.
What?
You have to do your job also.
Your job
is to keep away from the snake.
No, he's saying, why is the snake punished?
Why is the snake punished?
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Someone asked that before here, right? If he was doing his job or whatever, the Malacham Abbas.
Right. So we don't really understand how it could be that a Malach, that the whole mahus of what a Malach is to do what Hashem wants. So how can a Malach go and do something that Hashem doesn't want?
No.
So in the big picture, it's all part of what Hashem wants.
And Rambam says you have to be careful of the Malach HaMavis because it has the ratios to kill.
Right.
So he doesn't. He came to kill a different person. He's just like, what's her name? Whatever, Shulamit, whatever. This is a different.
Miriam Magdala Sarah.
Remember the name?
Yeah, that was the name.
Such a brilliant brain. Remember the name. Mirror, yeah. Because it has the rushes to kill
him. No, there's a reason why I remember the name, because it sounds like Miriam Magdalene, that's why. All right, because
he made a mistake and whatever, he took the person because now, okay, he has the resources to kill the
world. Yeah. So Hashem gave, basically, in a nutshell, Hashem gave 39 curses. 10 to Adam, 10 to Chava, 10 to the Nachash, and 9 to the ground. So the Rikanti in Parshas Bereishis brings down that this is the source for, not the source, but this is the idea behind the fact that when a person does an Isra Lav, he does an Isra in the Torah with Adam and Hasra, so what does Bezdin do? Bezdin gives him Malkus. How many lashes? He gives him lashes. How many lashes? You get 39. Because by doing an Avera, a person brings a Ruach Tumah into the world. So that's just like Adam Rishon and Chava who ate from the Eitz Hadas, they brought a Ruach Tumah in the world, they brought 39 curses. So you also brought a Ruach Tumah, you get 39 lashes. That's the Rikanti says, the Parshas Bereishis. 39 and 39. We'll see, Me'atz Hashem, exactly how to count the different curses. The Medrash over here is going to go through how to count them, and there's other sources as well how to count them. Another point is like this, that I made a nice chart over here of six different Mefarshim, how they count the 10 curses. I'm going to speak more about it next week, but I'll just give you the chart if you want to take a look at it this week or whatever. On one side of the page is the 10 curses of Chava. On the other side of the page is the 10 curses of Adam Rishon. But we're not going to go into it today. We're going to go more into it next week. The point is that it says in the Medrash that Hashem brought Adam, Chava, and the Nachash in front of him when he gave the Gzar Din. So the Rada asked the question, why did all three of them have to be in front of him when he gave the Gzar Din? Why can't he give each one separately? So in order to see the answer of the Radal, we'll have to learn next week's, when we go into the details of the different curses, and based on that we'll try to be able to understand the answer to the Radal's question. The other point is like this. We'll just speak about, we have only a few minutes left, so we'll just speak about an interesting point in one of the curses that came to Chava. And then next week we'll go into more detail about the different curses. One of the curses that came to Chava is that she's supposed to have long hair. So what's the inyan of Chava having long hair? And why Dafka, is that a curse for a woman and not a curse for a man? So there's some interesting ideas. Some of these ideas we spoke about before, some of them will have a little bit of a new twist on. We've spoken about before the difference between the Zohar and the Keva. That the Bechina of a Zohar is to give, and the Bechina of Nekeva is to receive. The giving and receiving, that's the difference between the Mohus of a Zohar and the Mohus of a Nekeva. And there's different, you can use these terms of giving and receiving, there's different ways of saying it over. You could also look at it like this, that Zohar is a Bechina of Chesed, and a Nekeva is a Bechina of Gvura. Chesed and Gvura, if you want to use Kabbalistic terms, from the spheres, Chesed and Gvura, the first two of the spheres. Chesed is giving, and Gvura is, let's call it, receiving or not giving. But in a way, they're the same. I'll explain. When you're focused, we said before that you could be talking about the same action, but focusing on different parts of that action. When you're talking about someone giving to somebody else, so you could focus on the person who's doing the giving, and you could focus on the person who's receiving. So when we talk about the Shefa of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, so we look at it as Hashem is coming and giving us Chesed. The Chesed is, when we're focusing on the giver, it's Chesed. Or Rachamim, let's say. You could use the different terms, Din and Rachamim. Chesed and Gevura, Din and Rachamim are not exactly the same thing, but for our purposes they're more or less the same idea. Right? Hashem is giving to Klal Yisrael, that's called Rachamim. When Hashem, that's focusing on Hashem. When we're focusing on Klal Yisrael and Hashem is not giving, that's called din. The din is, you don't get. I once heard a very good mashal. It helps Mamash explain the idea very good. It says, you have a mashal of a guy who's giving out checks. He's giving out checks to people collecting money. This guy has two different hanhagas. During the year, you come to him, you make a meeting, you speak to him, you tell him exactly what you need for, and he sits down, he figures out, you know, okay, this guy I'm going to give him, this guy gets $500. This guy, he gets $1,000. This guy, he gets $15,000. Each guy, he makes a chesed, he figures out how much he gives. That's one mahalach. The other mahalach is the same guy and the same person that's receiving, the same gvir and the same person that's collecting money on Purim. On Purim, what this guy does, he doesn't have any meetings, he doesn't speak to you, he doesn't even care what you want to collect for. He sits at his table, he already wrote out a bunch of checks, $1,000 checks. He's sitting at the table with a bunch of $1,000 checks. All he has to do is sign it and give it to you. He doesn't want to know who you are, what you want. Here, I'm giving $1,000 checks. Everyone, you deserve it, you don't deserve it. Should you get more? Should you get less? I don't care. Checks, everyone, $1,000 checks. Yeah? These are the two hanhagas. The first hanhaga, during the year, let's call it, so the guy is what we call din. Din is like a justice. We figure it out. Figure out how much do you deserve, and then I'll decide if I want to give you this, I want to give you that. The focus, when we're talking about din, the focus is on the receiver. How much should the receiver receive? That's the focus of din. When we're talking about, let's say, the way this guy worked on Purim, so the focus is not on the receiver, but the focus is on the giver. I don't care who the receiver is. I don't care what he wants. Whether he deserves it, whether he doesn't deserve it, everyone gets the same thing. It's a mivtza. I'm giving away $1,000 checks. The focus is on the giver. That's the bechina of chesed. We're looking at the giver. He's just giving away. So when we're talking about zohar and nekeva, it's the same idea. When we're focusing on the zohar, on the giving, the bechina of the zohar, so that's chesed. Or rahman. When we're focusing on the receiver, does the receiver deserve it? Not deserve it? Then the keva is the receiver, so that's din or kavura, where you have to check it out. Fine. This is the haktama to the difference between the zohar and the keva. Now there's a famous thing from the Arizal about hair. You probably know this. You ask any chabad chassid, why do you have a beard? Because the Arizal says you're supposed to have a beard. So what does the Arizal say? So the Arizal says like this, that a beard of a man is rachamim. The Arizal, the Chassidim also, most Chassidim, they shave their heads, bald. Triple zero, right? 000. Why? Because the Arizal says that the hair on the top of the head is din. Okay. Now let's look at the lady. The lady, her is the exact opposite. Beard, she doesn't have a beard. Most ladies don't have a beard. You go to the circus, you can find a lady with a beard. But most ladies don't have beards. On the top of the head, they grow it longer. Their beard is on the top of their head. So what's the difference? What happened over here? So the Rizal says that the hair on the bottom of the head is rachamim. The hair on the top of the head is din. So
did he explain why?
No, he didn't explain why. But I have an understanding why. I'll explain in a moment. Okay. But he says like this: the hair on the bottom of the head is rachamim, the hair on the top is din. So a man who is what we said, bechina of rachamim, so he's supposed to grow the hair on the bottom, which is rachamim, and get rid of the hair on the top, which is din, except for the payas. Because the payas, the sfarim say that the payas represents a certain din, that if you got rid of din completely in the world couldn't exist. Because there has to be some sort of schar v'onish, otherwise people will do mamet, it'll be a hefkervelt. So it has to be some sort of din. So you leave the payas because the payas is a little bit of din. But the rest of the hair on the top, you get rid of it. Because it's din. A man is not din. When we're talking about a woman, so the hair on the bottom, she doesn't have hair on the bottom. It's rachamim. It's completely against her nature, which is din. So she doesn't have hair on the bottom. When we talk about hair on the top, which is din, she's din, right? So woman is din, hair on the top is din, so she grows her hair dafka longer. Just like a man grows a beard, she grows the hair on the top longer. The only issue is that we don't want din in the world. We don't want too much din in the world. So what you have to do is you have to be mitzamtzem the din. You have to hold it down and try to make it less and not as powerful.
Contract
the din. Right? So the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai, in the Sefer Ben Yoyada, Mesechus Brochus, Daf Samech Aleph Ben Aleph, Mesechus Shabbos, Daf Sadekeim Ben Aleph, explains that's why a woman who has long, when they have long hair, so there's two hanhagas by a woman. When you're single, you're supposed to tie your hair. It's a little known halacha that women are supposed to have their hair tied when they're braided or tied down, so that you're tying down the dinim so that it doesn't just control it. When they're married, then they cover their hair to like hide the dinim. The dinim is there because the woman is din and the hair on the top is din, but you sort of hide it. You don't want it to be too powerful. That's what the Ben Ishchai says. The Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Chava in front of Adam Rishon, so it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided her hair. So he says, why did Hashem have to braid her hair? He brings this idea. In the Gemara also, in the Yuma, Daf Mem Zayin, by Kimchis, says that Kimchis, she was a lady who covered her hair. Even the walls of her house never saw her hair. And she was zecha to have seven kids who were Kohanim Gedolim. And the Ben Yoyad explains, what's the inyan of not having the walls see your hair? This is also, this is the idea, because they have din, and you sort of want to contract the din instead of exposing the din. Okay, that's the pshat from the Arizal and from the Ben Yoyad, exactly about beards and the hair. Okay.
So they don't approach erva?
What?
Erva.
What erva?
They don't say, I was thought that the woman there a problem with, you know, being open or showing when she's married is because of erva.
It's not pasha. It's not necessarily technically a problem of erva, because what's the isra of erva? The isra of erva is that when you're saying Kriya Shema, you're not supposed to say it in front of erva. There's a minig, an old minig that's already from the time of the Gemara. There's the minig of Bnei Yisrael is that you cover your hair. And the Gemara says that you a lady who doesn't cover her hair, you could divorce her because she's not keeping to the minig of Das Yehudas. No, it's a whole shayla. I don't remember exactly all the pratim about it, but I don't want to get exactly into that right now. But so you asked the question before. What's the pshat and the reason? Why is the hair on the bottom rachamim and the hair on the top dim? He doesn't explain himself. But I think that based on the way I gave the introduction to this idea of chesed and gevura, the shefa and the mushpa, these things, I think we can have a very geshmak understanding. That mistama, I think this is pashup shah and the result. I spoke to a few people and they agreed with me that they didn't agree with me that this is the pshat and the result, but they agreed that this could be the pshat and the result. Right, like this. When we're talking about chesed, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving shefa to Klal Yisrael, and the focus when we talk about chesed is the focus on the giver. Right? So the way chesed works is it's a shefa coming from Shemayim down to Klal Yisrael, down to the earth. So it's going from up downwards. Now, how does the hair on your beard grow? It grows from up downwards.
Wow.
Right? So I wanted to say that's why the hair of the beard is rachamim. Because it's coming, it's the chesed, it's going from Shemayim down to the earth. When you're talking about din, or gevura, or whatever, how does that work? That works, the focus is on the receiver, Klal Yisrael. First, you got to look at Klal Yisrael and see how the actions of Klal Yisrael affect what's happening in Shemayim. And then in Shemayim, they'll decide based on the actions down here, how much to give you. That's what Din and Gevurah is. Right? So the way that works, the way that works is it goes from down up. Now, how does the hair on the top of your head grow? It grows from down up. So that's why I think it's Din. That's the way I understood what the results are.
But why the amount of hair that it grows, the amount of din or amount of chesed you're going to receive from Shemayim?
I never said that it affects the amount that you receive from Shemayim.
No, the reason is that you should grow your hair and shave your head. Why you have to diminish here and let it grow here?
Right. Because
I have a friend that went to Rav Kanevsky.
Yeah, he told him to grow a beard.
You told him to grow a beard. Look at it. You need a bracha? Grow a beard?
Yeah.
He told him. He said only bua. He said only,
Rav Chaim Kanevsky has his pet peeves. If you don't have a beard, he tells you to grow a beard. If you're unmarried, he tells you to get married. If you wear a watch, he tells you to stop wearing a watch because it's Begin Isha. If your name is Shira, he tells you to take the Yud out of the name and change your name to Sar. He has different things that he has certain hakfalas that if you ask your personal plastic or whatever, they'll usually tell you, you know, unless your mom is a Talmud of Rav Chaim Kanevsky and you listen to everything he says, you know, you don't necessarily have to be exactly chayshish for yourself. But he's not coming from nowhere. I don't know why he says some of the things that he says, but that's what he says. And he's a big Talmud Chacham, bigger Talmud Chacham than we are. And
No, for sure.
Could be he's coming from some other source than the result.
I'm still trying to understand. Just an example, like did the
Rav Kanevsky. Yeah.
For my friend, which I really, you know, pretty much like, really love to hear that. Like, you know, have a good time at that home. Like, somehow I did have to do it. The Rav Kanevsky told me. He said it was like, I know. The thing is, I'm still trying to understand their result. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I'm just we have a little bit better understanding of it. I'm not saying that that we have a complete understanding.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame.
There was a very interesting story about a guy whose kid was dying, but went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, "Grow a beard." So the guy grew a beard, and the kid when he grabbed on the beard. He grabbed Rachamim, and that's why he lived. Before, there was nothing to grab on.
Ah, very nice. Interesting. All right, so I think we'll stop over here. And next week we'll get into the different curses, Metz Hashem.
Are you going to use this chart now next week, right?
Yeah, we're going to bring, if you could bring the chart next week also.
So you spoke to later the connection between having the long hair, wine, somehow we have a deck of a curse, right?
What?
The curse of long hair?
No, I wasn't explaining necessarily the curse. I was just explaining the Indian of long hair.
So what was the curse that they gave to Chava?
Why is this a curse?
No, what curse did they give to Chava to the long hair?
All right, we'll get into next week.
All right.
All right, good Shabbos. Thank you for coming.